The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
European Green Transitions has announced a transformative acquisition. I'm joined by Executive Chair Cathal Friel and Earthmills Managing Director Dave Broadbank to discuss what it means for the group's next phase of growth. Gentlemen, welcome to you both.
Thank you, Martin. Good to speak. Bye.
Cathal, well, first of all, congratulations on the announcement. This looks like a landmark transaction for EGT. But in simple terms, can you talk us through what you've acquired, why this business fits strategically with where you want to take the group?
Yeah, Martin, look, we're very excited about this transaction. When we did our IPO June 12 months ago, we had some mining assets. We told the market we'd monetize them, we'd scale them up a bit and move them on. I wanted to sell them. And our focus was purely on acquiring businesses in this sort of infrastructure space. They had to be profitable, they had to be fast growing, and they had to create a platform to scale going forward. So that's it. We basically bought a critical infrastructure platform, which is basically comprised basically primarily the operating of wind turbines throughout the UK, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland. Not only operating them, they don't own them, which is really about owning wind turbines is a very expensive capital. This is the operating them, running them, long-term contracts, the servicing, the maintenance, the repairs of them, and the remote monitoring. So a really nice, sticky, steady business. And a business that has been around. It's based up in Harrogate. It's run by our friend Dave Broadbank, who's on the call with us. We're looking forward to work with his team going forward. And it's a fabulous good platform. They're managing over 900 individual turbines throughout the UK. And I'd say it's a great acquisition now to expand further into areas such as road, energy, transport and data centres. So it's a platform and we're really excited about it.
That's great. But can you just sort of give me a sense of scale? I mean, what kind of revenues is the business currently generating and how should investors think about this, you know, the price you've paid on evaluation terms?
Yeah, Martin, look, I think, being honest, we were trying to not be overly excited, but I think we got probably one of the best deals I'll ever do in my life. It's an absolute bargain. Now, one person's woes is another person's delight. Unfortunately, the business has gone through tough times. The parent company, Arena Capital Partners, borrowed a lot of money, 170 million over the years from high yield loan notes. It has gone in last summer, went into administration called examinership. It failed in that and went into liquidation. However, the subsidiaries of which we've bought have traded profitably and successfully throughout all that. We would call it chaos. I'm sure Dave might call it something similar. And look, the business itself was acquired by Arena, probably as a cash cow to send cash to the parent company. So we're looking at investing in these businesses and growing them going forward. An idea of revenue did just under 15 million each of the last couple of years. It's very sticky, very predictable revenues. Last year, so it was a difficult year. It still made just under a million EBITDA. A better analog would be the year end, December 2024. It made 1.5 million. And we're guiding the market substantially increase on those EBITDA and revenues in the year ahead. And we paid 3.5 million, which is not bad. Two times the last audit that counts EBITDA. And off that, we got working capital or normalized working capital of about near enough 2.5 million, which you subtract that from three. So the real price is only a million. It also came with very modern stock, i.e. wind turbines, blades, gearboxes that can be used in the coming months in the tune of well over 3.5 million. So, yeah, it's a cracking deal. It also has a big piece of expansion lined up that has been planning. It was held back. This is the repowering of the portfolio of 900 turbines. There's a couple of hundred of them ready to be repowered. That's a new, bigger turbine goes up. Boris Johnson and his merry people banned new turbines for the recent years in the UK onshore. Labour government, one of the few good things it did, they overturned that. And finally, last September, October, the effect of that ban being overturned came through. And Dave and his team have already signed 50 heads of terms with small deposits to replace repowering. They're worth about 440 or 450,000. So that's a pipeline of signed orders of now 19 million. They've identified a forwarder within their portfolio, qualified prospects of another 200 of these repowering. So you'll probably see now when we're talking about near-term revenues of 50 million being achievable. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of growth now coming through this business.
I'd like to touch on funding, if I
Sure.
may. I mean, how has this acquisition been financed? And you mentioned there's a cornerstone investor. How important is that at support at this stage?
Well, even better, Martin, in recent days with a second cornerstone investor. 2 days ago, we had one. Now we've got two as per the RNS. So, yeah, how we funded, because it was a liquidation sale, we had to present the cash right away. And EGT being a small company, it didn't have 3.5 million plus sufficient working capital to keep stock exchange rules going for the next year. So my vehicle, Raglan Capital, put a facility together. Along with Sean O'Driscoll, he's a very prominent, well-known Irish long-term investor in small-cap companies. Sean committed 1.5 million to the bridge loan. His bridge loan is non-refundable. He will commit to convert that immediately into equity when we complete an equity raise quite soon. My 1.1 million will be refunded. And we've got a 400,000 from a number of high net worths that will be refunded. So off the 3 million bridge, 1.5 will automatically convert into equity placement and 1.5 will get refunded. To refund it, we're going to kick off the usual roadshow quite soon and raise in the region of up to about 5 million. However, cornerstones, we have, say, Sean O'Driscoll already is cornerstoning 1.5 million of that, subject to whatever the placing price will be. And say, in recent days, we've got a second cornerstone for 1.1. So we've got 2.6 million of the 5 million. In other words, over 50% of the placing already offers in place. So we think this will be a very successful placing and we'll have it done in the next couple of weeks.
Well, it's always good to have strong support like that in their placing, indeed. So, well, look, you've outlined some medium-term, quite ambitious sort of goals of reaching around 50 million euros in revenues with double-digit EBITDA margins and all that. I've got to ask you, what's your playbook for getting there? Is this going to be all organically, or is it through further M&A, or a combination of both?
Yeah, look, believe it or not, primarily organically, and we're very optimistic. Where we are at the moment, we're looking at very substantial year-on-year sales growth and EBITDA growth on the back of those repowering opportunities that now the overturning of the onshore wind turbine ban, the planned emission is gone. So that's going to be very significant continual revenue and EBITDA growth. We'll also do some a couple of small little bolt-ons and tangential areas that we see this as a critical infrastructure portfolio. We don't want to be tarred as purely the wind turbine people. And we within the business, there is a small business. We acquired 52% of a Scottish remote monitoring company as a software company called Animus. And we believe that we'll do some small bolt-ons. It'll be done from cash flow. They'll be done 3-4 times EBITDA, 2 times EBITDA upfront, the balance over a number of years. So we won't be doing further placings, but those little bolt-ons will bring us into areas such as road, transport, energy, and actually data centers, which is a very strong growth area. And finally, we'll use a small bit of leverage. We're not going mad. We'll never use more than 2 times EBITDA in our leverage. So yeah, we won't be coming back for additional placings, but we really can grow this to a substantial business in a relatively quick period in time.
Thank you. Okay. Well, Dave, let me bring you in, if I may. I mean, from your perspective, you've been with Earthmill for many, many years. How do you now feel about Earthmill becoming part of the EGT group?
Well, yeah, very excited. In terms of EGT getting on board, there's never actually been a better time than right now to invest in a business such as Earthmill. With EGT comes the additional strength of the company's long-term position, provides additional resource, expertise, and investment, which will result in future growth and innovation whilst providing the security to long-term clients. As you mentioned, I've been with the business many years, so 15 years. Very proud of what we've achieved to date. And I do believe that working with EGT, things are only going to improve and we're going to unlock further potential within the wind industry.
So, for those of us who are less familiar with the platform, then can you explain what actually sits within Earthmill today? I mean, you've got the Silver 4, WEP, and what does each business bring to the group?
So, as a group, we specialize in the service and maintenance of distributed wind turbines. So it's a full comprehensive service and maintenance solution right through to 24-hour remote monitoring. One of the bolt-ons ones that Carl mentioned was Animos. So that's an additional set of sensors to do condition monitoring of the vital organs, basically gearbox, generator, etc. We focus on the small to medium scale wind turbines, specializing in Endurance Wind Power, Northern Power Systems, Vestas, and WTN. And we work very, very closely with our partners, Silverford and Webb, based over in Ireland. So in the UK, we're based out of four strategic locations, Scotland, Central Wales, and then the Southwest.
Now, one of the more interesting elements mentioned is this repowering opportunity. Can you unpack what that actually means in practice and why it could represent significant revenue opportunities, not just in the near term, but also in the longer term?
Sure. As again, Carl mentioned about the political and regulatory restrictions we've had. Keir Starmer in 2024, when they came to power, they overturned the onshore wind turbine ban, the planning ban. So that's unlocked a load of potential. So not just new installations, but also repowers. What I mean by repowering is taking out an existing turbine, putting in a new, more powerful, more efficient turbine in its place, but limiting that turbine to what the original turbine's capacity was. The reason you do that is you don't have to invest heavily in infrastructure on the grid. You're not spending a fortune on the infrastructure improvements. You stick to what the grid already is. And essentially what it does, you'll achieve about between 2 and 250% more production, more energy production. Put that into context. We've replaced a 250 kilowatt turbine with a 660 kilowatt turbine. And what that's done is to monetize that, you've gone from about £175,000 a year of revenue to around £390,000 worth of revenue per year. Carl said we've got over 900 turbines between Earthmill, Silverford, and Wind Energy Partners. Approximately 50 of those have committed to repowering projects. We have 17 out of planning already, and a further 22 projects are due out of planning across quarter one and quarter two of 26. So far we've got 100% success rate. In terms of revenue, repower revenue, there's 19, £20 million worth of revenue over the coming years already tied up. So yeah, it's everything's very promising. And not just the repowering itself, but we also tie the clients into a longer term O&M contract. So for the service and maintenance.
Wow, that is impressive. Now, Carl mentioned as well, he's got these sort of ambitious growth targets. I suppose I'm wondering, from your perspective, you're sitting there operationally, you're on the coal face, but so to speak. Do those targets feel achievable? And if so, what gives you the confidence the platform can scale to that level?
I do feel they're achievable, very much so. The team I've got with me are brilliant. I'm very blessed with the team that I work with. That teamed with the additional resource expertise with EGT will continue to improve, will continue to expand the services that we provide our clients. The government's also made some bold targets. They want to double onshore wind by 2030. So that's taking from where we are right now, about 15 gigawatts of wind power, to 30 gigawatts of wind power 2030. So Earthmill will play a small part in helping the government achieve those targets. The other thing is, as capacity grows and the fleet of turbines age, the necessity for additional servicing and maintenance. The teams with all the repowering solution, it's just everything will grow. And as I say previously, there's never been a better time for EGT to get involved with someone like Earthmill.
Well, finally, Cathal, you mentioned at the start that these assets, you've still got a portfolio of these mining assets alongside this now growing infrastructure platform. How should investors think about those assets going forward? Are they core, non-core, potential source of future valuation realization?
Martin, good point. Absolutely. The IPO, we did call them non-core, and they remain non-core, but we believe they're very valuable. Our future is in this recurring, sticky revenue, fast-growing revenue across sectors within infrastructure. We say roads, transport, energy, data centers, and the wind servicing. However, these non-core assets, there's a lot of value. The team did a fantastic, very low-cost drill program on the Swedish asset. Our copper asset is under option with a company in Cyprus. We hope to complete a deal there. But the real asset that we're excited about is the rare earths. President Trump highlighted how the big issue in Europe, the lack of rare earths. Our drilling program proved up that to be a district-wide scale. Also, the Swedish government has said it's a strategic national resource. Also, it's pretty cool. It's in the area that's been a lot of mining over the years, so it's mining friendly. So our plan in the immediate term is to find a partner who will pay us a good sum of money up front, some milestones and royalties, and let them take it. But it is the only, for far as we're aware, the only rare earth mine that's close to mineable in the whole of Europe. So it's a pretty good asset. We don't want to rush out and do a bad deal on it, but we're good at doing deals. We've got the revenue enhancing growth deal now with our infrastructure deal we just announced. So now the focus is absolutely we will monetize the rare earth asset in the months ahead. And we really look forward to updating you and telling you more of the exciting story as it takes off from today.
Well, gentlemen, thank you both for your time today. This transaction clearly marks an inflection point for EGT as you shift decisively towards scalable cash generative infrastructure services, which must be music to investors' ears. So, congratulations, and I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Martin,
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.